Okay, another thing I've told you some time ago is there's something very unique about being a Christian. It's not necessarily just another religion for a lot of reasons. But in our, shall I say, our basic doctrine and teaching, there's one thing that's very different about Christianity than any Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or whatever you can pull out of the bag. Can you tell me what that is? That's right. Most of them are following people that died, right? They're following people that they would acknowledge are no longer alive today. Whether be it Muhammad or be it Confucius or be it some other teacher in the past, some of them have strange twists where they believe that you come back in a different shape or form, but they're not really living, or excuse me, worshiping or serving the thing that existed years ago. And you know, our God, how does he say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yes, there's been a change in covenant and some of that, but he's the same. And in that, what's most exciting about a Christian and why Christianity should really be taking over the world, if I can say it that way, rather than these other religions, is that we actually have something to be excited about. You know, those poor people, I look at them. Take Muslims, for instance. They're trying to follow the teachings of a prophet that died many years ago, trying to please a God that's impossible to please. And I'm so glad this morning I'm not having to live that way. You know, we have a Savior, the Son of God. He came to earth as a man. He died, but he didn't stay in that grave. He rose again. He is risen. You know, while I would quickly and readily tell you that I believe in the resurrection, the fact is I believe it as a concept. Do you know what I mean by that? When was the last time you went to a graveyard and saw one of the graves just emptied out like it just been dug fresh and the coffin was down there with the lid off and the things, the wrappings laid there neatly and the person was alive? And you go, ooh, that was interesting. Had a resurrection today. I don't know. I'm going to make a sweeping statement that I feel fairly secure in is that none of you ever saw that either, right? So I would suggest that while we all want to believe in the resurrection, it's a bit of a concept to us. And what's interesting, I don't know, as I read the New Testament and I know, I can sort of see Christ's purpose life from start to finish, I like, wow, those disciples were awful dense. But I don't really think they were any denser than me in that if you were to come over and tell me that, hey, one of the graves over here is open and that so-and-so rose today, I'd be like, what's wrong with you, right? And that's a little bit where they found themselves. It's a concept. We haven't experienced it in that way. So while we want to believe in it, it's something we really struggle to visualize or even think about the feelings that would go with it. I really think, as I was thinking about this whole thing, I'm really not that much different than the disciples. You know, death, we've seen. But to see one who was clearly dead, no longer being dead, we have not seen. Unless we're talking about spiritual sense. It would seem to me that likely, especially if it was a recent death, and you would come tell me this person, especially somebody I would have been close to, is risen again, I would so badly want to believe it that I wouldn't believe it. You sort of know what I mean? And even if you'd see the person, you're like, this can't be. You wouldn't believe your own eyes because you just know, you know, while it can happen, it doesn't happen. I mean, right? So I'm thinking about the disciples, the women involved there in Jesus, I just decided to title my message, The Tomb is Empty, and I'll explain that a bit more. But you may open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Don't need to. I'm not going to read a lot necessarily about this. I think we know the story, how Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body of Christ. He and Nicodemus wrapped it and put it in his own tomb. Burying back then was a little different than today. TJ, thanks for drawing this for me. There's some dispute where Christ was actually buried, but a lot of the times they would hew like this chamber out in the rock, and then they would have another big rock that they would roll. And that was actually different pictures I saw. They would put like a little wedge here when they wanted to have it open, right? Sort of a circular stone. They'd prop it open. Then once they were done, they'd roll that stone. And that stone wasn't made to be opened easily, right? It's not that it couldn't be, but it was not made. It was supposed to seal that thing off more or less. That's what you have going on. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, take the body of Jesus, wrap it. They didn't really use a coffin since they had this. It seems like they would wrap the body, maybe carry it on more what we would call a stretcher or something, take it in. They had a little ledge cut in the rock where they would lay this body. And they would they didn't really embalm, so they would bury like the same day. Same time, they would put spices, things with it. And so that was the situation you had as Christ came off the cross. Made to be closed, but not easily opened. And I've often marveled at these women. Maybe women are, maybe sometimes their faith is stronger because they don't get all tied up with logic. But they were going to go try to add some spices to Christ. And not only was this a great big rock to be rolled back, it said they did wonder how they would get this rock moved. But they went anyway, which was faith. But on top of that, this rock was sealed with soldiers. And I often wondered, how did they expect this to really work? Maybe they thought the soldiers didn't care about women putting spices. I don't know. It'd be interesting to know all that. But Matthew 28, verse 5 through 7, they got to the grave. And lo and behold, this rock is rolled away. I don't know whether it was still setting upright or not. The angel was sitting on it somehow, it says. Man in shining raiment sitting there. And he says to the women, fear not. Now, that's an interesting thing. When you come, what you expect to find closed is open, and what you expect to find dead is missing. It's an interesting thing to say, fear not. You know, don't be scared here. Okay. For I know that ye seek Jesus. So he said he knew what they were after, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Come look at the ledge here. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. I don't know. Can you? I cannot imagine a worse, I'm not sure what the word describes that, whiplash of emotion than what these ladies were going through. They were going to a grave to sort of pay their last respects. It'd be sort of like us going to the graveyard to lay flowers on it one more time. Expecting this is probably the last thing they can ever really do for the physical Jesus they walked with. And they come, and like I said, it's a little different situation, but they come and the grave's open. There's a man in shining raiment that knocks out soldiers sitting there. And he says, I know. Don't be afraid. I know you're here to see Jesus, but he's not here. And can you imagine just, do I dare believe this? I want to, but I don't. That would be sort of my thing. And yet, when you look at where he's supposed to be, he's gone. And not only that, shortly hereafter, if you were to keep reading in the Bible here, it says that Jesus met them. It says, all hail. And they said, Master. Amazing. Simply amazing. The tomb is empty. Okay, I'd ask a couple about singing some songs since I didn't have that much. Now, I did take some responsibility here. I thought I had picked at least two songs that were fairly well known and discovered they weren't. So if we stumble around a bit, just bear with us and be blessed anyway. So if y'all would want to come up, and let's do the best we can on that. While you're coming up, thank you very much for helping with that.
Rolled back.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you all for helping with that. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I'll start reading at verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, that we should also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. My paraphrasing, follow along. Do you not know and understand? All those of us who have been baptized upon the confession of our faith in Christ are associating with him in his death. We are to be dead to our flesh, our desires and our plans, our will. Because we have died to self, that part of us has been buried through the baptism of the Spirit. In the same way as Christ was raised from the dead by his Father, so we are raised to a new life and purpose. For as Christ's physical death is symbolic of how we need to die to self, so his resurrection is also symbolic of the opportunity for new life that we may experience in him and through him. For we know that our carnal nature, our inclination to selfishness, must be crucified, as Christ was crucified, so that the grip of sin in our lives can be broken, that we might be able to live without sin. For those who have died to self are free from the bondage of sin. If we have died to self as Christ did, we know and believe we are also raised to new life as he was. Christ was raised from the dead, and the power of death was broken. He is no longer dead and will not die. So shall it be with us. For as Christ died, he died once to break the power of death and sin. But today he is alive, living for God and the work that God has for him. In the same way, we consider ourselves to be dead, dead to self, to sin, to our desires, to what we long for. Yet we are alive, alive to God, alive to his will and his desire for us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Need to tread a bit carefully because I want you to understand something here. Crucifixion and death are fundamental to the Christian life. So I in no way want to minimize or detract from that in any way. Yet I wonder if sometimes in our conservative circles, we possibly emphasize those rightly a lot, but we underemphasize the resurrection and life. And I'll explain that in the rest of what I have to say. Let me start by asking you, how is death to self going for you? How is death to self going for you? For me, it goes pretty rough. Every time I think I'm getting somewhere, another area pops up that I seem I have to start all over again on. I'm not excusing myself from continuing that battle, please understand me. Crucifixion and death are fundamental to the Christian faith. But how is death to self going for you? When your life consists of do this, don't do that. When your life consists of hide this, don't expose that, better not let this hang out. When your life consists of continual failure and continual discouragement, you may have died, or you may at least be seeking to die. You may be in the tomb, and maybe you even have closed the door to the tomb, but you, my friend, have failed to remember that he lives. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled back. Let me say it this way. You cannot focus on death and live successfully. Death is important, but you cannot focus on death and live successfully. Many is the person who I've seen in a physical sense get obsessed with their mortality, and they try to find all sorts of ways to add a couple years to their life, and it seems almost without fail, those people actually die younger than maybe if they just lived. I'm not saying that's probably not a fast rule there, but I've seen it over and over in my short life. I would like to suggest to you that spiritually it's somewhat similar. We need to be concerned about giving up self. Yes, absolutely. We need to crucify our flesh. We need to get in that tomb and, you know, let that, this, my desires, my will, what I want, die. I get it. But finally, that's not how I live. is focusing on that. You cannot focus on death and live successfully. You cannot die to self while being focused on denying self. Denying self is important, but it's not what you focus on. Remember, this life is not about me, it's about Him. It's not about what I want, but it's about His plan for me. It's not about my likes and my dislikes, but it's about what pleases Him. It's not about my following my dreams, but about being in His will. It's not about protecting myself, but building His kingdom. It's not about finding myself, whatever that is, but finding Him. He is all I need in everything and in all the time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The only way to die to self is to live for Christ. And that, my friends, I think we're falling down so often in our churches and our people. You cannot die to self while trying to live for self, and yet we try it all the time. The only way for you to die to self is to live for Christ each and every moment of your life. Forget about self. Just put it back there. Let it go. And live for Christ. And I think we've got a couple things hindering us out, including our flesh. You know, as Christians, we must have an eternal focus. Oh, how easy it is for me to focus on the things of time, but friends, I can't. I dare not do it. I've got to think about the eternal. You know, those things, that truck, that business, whatever I has in 100 years from now, it's going to be gone, friends. And yes, if it helps me live for God today, then maybe it's a blessing. But if it's hindering me in living for God today, I've got a problem I've got to deal with. Because I need an eternal focus. I may not focus on the things of time, or it will distract me from the things that really matter. We need to encourage each other to focus on life, not necessarily just this life, but focus on a life of doing, a life of being for God, a focus on living for Him. And here's another thing we run into, and oh, how we damage each other sometimes, is I'm convinced our enemy, the devil, likes nothing better than a critical spirit and a negative attitude in a Christian. A critical spirit and a negative attitude. And if you, my friend, are here this morning, you've got a critical spirit and a negative attitude, get down on your knees before you try to do one more thing and confess it. Maybe a few small tests that I can use for myself when I struggle with this. Sometimes it's a little hard to analyze yourself, isn't it? But when was the last time you told someone, maybe especially someone you struggle with, that was a great idea that you shared? I really appreciate that thought. When was the last time you did that? Like I said, especially for the people that have crazy ideas. When was the last time you thanked someone for being part of God's plan for you, especially when they feel like a piece of gravel in your shoe? Did you? When was the last time? When was the last time you took time out of your day to make someone, maybe not even someone that close to you, feel loved and remembered? When was the last time you gave up your plans, things that were important to you, desires that you had, to be a blessing to someone else? And I hope you understand me. I'm blessed that this church is full of people that do things like this. But we can't sit back and think we've got there, friends. We've got to keep trying. There's always more to do. I'm not trying to be critical. Not at all. I just told you that's the test for it, right? Sure, others will often, to most of the time in my experience, have ideas and ways that are different from what I would think and from what I would do things. And yet, where they are seeking to be a blessing, where their desire is to serve God, I'd say let's cheer them on. The church should be full of cheerleaders rather than naysayers, and I think we're a little bit too good at naysaying. Are you cheering your brother and sister on even though, well, you wonder? You know, I think it's great. I need to be careful here. There's a balance to all things. But sometimes you have to see those optimistic, inexperienced people learn things the way we've learned them. And so even though you don't think it's going to work out, if it's not wrong, maybe we should still cheer them on. and be there to help them pick up the pieces when they do crash. Might be better. I'm concerned that in our, again, not trying to focus on us, I love you all, I'm just saying. I think way too often our churches are full of wet blankets. Wet blankets. Snuffing out enthusiasm for God and his kingdom because, that's not going to work the way you think, or that's not quite safe the way you want to do it. Or we can go on and on, and there's place to time and place to discuss and learn from each other, absolutely. But may we not be wet blankets. Many is the person I have seen who enthusiastically was seeking to serve God, only to meet them a couple years later, finding that they had lost their enthusiasm. And I ask what happened, and too often it traces back to a church that's a wet blanket. Think about it. There's so much to be done. There's so much to be excited about. After all, I just told you, he's risen.
He is risen.
That tomb is empty. That stone is rolled back. A Christian, I'm going to say it this way and not waste more words on this one. A Christian with a critical spirit towards God's people, a Christian with a negative attitude about his brothers and sisters that he's called to work with, is an accomplice of the enemy. Not intentionally, perhaps, but he's still that, an accomplice of the enemy. An assistant, if you will. And what a good assistant. May we cheer each other on. May we pull together. May we inspire each other. And if somebody has a crazy idea, may we help them tweak their ideas rather than snuff them out. This life is a fleeting moment in which to make a choice that we will live out through eternity. Think about that. This life is a fleeting moment, very short. And I'm finally starting to believe it. Took me a couple years. In which to make a choice. This life is really about making a choice that I will live with the results for eternity. And I can't comprehend that. You know, the things that are very important to you today, make your own list. I could give you mine if you want it. Come ask me for it. But the things that I tend to make very important today, in comparison to eternity, how long will they be important? How long? You know, so many things that seem pretty important at the time, when I match them up and I have my graph here of eternity, which is this, goes out of sight both directions, don't know. It looks like a very minute dot. It almost don't deserve to be a dot, does it? And yet, I get obsessed with it. You know, whatever that is for you, what is important to you? Compare that in comparison to eternity. How long will this be important? How long will this problem last? How long will this stress exist? I so easily let comparative nothingness distract me from preparation for the eternal. What choice am I making? Thinking back to the tomb, you know, there's so many applications we could make. But I don't know, somehow this whole week, it just was sort of like pounding in my head. That stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty. You know, one big concern I have with myself and perhaps some others that I meet is so often it seems we're determining how to live today based on what happened yesterday. And it's not that we should forget yesterday, but friends, today is a new day, a new opportunity. May we roll back the stone on the tomb of our past. May we just let it go. May that tomb be empty. May we roll back the stone on the tomb of our failures and our sin. Yes, let's own our mistakes. Let's confess our sins. But let's not be defined by what happened yesterday. Today is another opportunity to serve God. Today I can bet, sure, I have things in my past that I'm dreadfully ashamed of and that I wish had never happened, but God is using them in my life today to help me do a better job in what he has. I don't know how he does it, but he can. So let it back. Let's open that door. Get it out. May the tomb be found empty. You know, may we roll back the stone on the tomb that contains our pride and our fears, or whatever it is that makes me defensive, controlling, and afraid of complete transparency. Let's expose those things to the light. The things that I am most apt to keep in the closet, friends, are probably the thing that most need to come out. Let that tomb be found empty. And you know, in the case of Christ, that tomb was empty. And oh, as Christians, it needs to be empty for me. Nothing hidden, nothing covered, nothing unconfessed, nothing kept from the light, nothing between me and God. Nothing to control, nothing to be defensive about, nothing to be proud about, nothing to seek but God. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The tomb is empty. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be sad about. There's all to live for eternally. Oh, my prayer for myself and for you is that we might be free. Free from bondage, free from fear, free from pride, free from a focus on self, free from worries about tomorrow, free from wondering what others think about us, free to live for Him, free to do for Him, free to love Him. And I want to just tell you right now, one of the most next to Christ and His death and His love for me shown in that death and His resurrection is what I'm excited about being a Christian is I'm free. You know what? Nobody can take that from me. You can throw me in the deepest, darkest hole. If I can hang on to God, I'm a free man. Nobody can take it from you, but me, myself. And how often I do that. Free to live for Him, free to do for Him, free to love Him. Let me ask you this, just to yourself answer these questions. Who's the happiest person you know? Who's the happiest person you know? Someone come to mind? Who's the most contented person you know? Who's the most thankful person you know? Who is the freest person you know? When I say free, I'm talking in a positive sense here, of course. I don't know who came to your mind, or maybe if you had some anyways. But as I thought about those questions, do you know who that should be? That should be the Christians around. That should be a Christian. That should be me. So maybe if you go throughout this next week, this next month, this next year, you're going to be the happiest person. Because I've got everything to be happy about. Yeah, life may not be easy. That's not what it's about. But it's about knowing what it's about. Who's the most contented person? Just absolutely don't know what to give them for their birthday. Not because they have everything, but because they just don't need nothing. Except Christ. Who's the most thankful person you've met? The person that you can't even bump them until the thankfulness just spills out. Is that you? Who's the freest person you know? The person that's you just know there's no walls. There's no barriers. They're not hiding anything. It's just who they are and what they are. Friends, that needs to be me. Because He's risen.
He is risen.
The tomb is empty. That stone is rolled back. May I live wholeheartedly and passionately for Christ and His kingdom. May the joy of the Lord, the peace of purpose, permeate your life, my life, and our actions as we busily live for Him. For that tomb is empty. Live not in fear or in desperation, but live in love and in inspiration. He is risen.
He is risen.
He lives. The tomb is empty. Let's kneel for prayer.